Morning of the today's daf in Shabbos Sadi Dalid. We are on the Mishnah on the bottom of Sadi Gimel on the base. Here in the 10th parak of Maseches Shabbos. The 10th parak is also dedicated to the Malach of Hotza'ah. Now, Malach of Hotza'ah, as we are becoming abundantly clear, is the fan favorite topic of the of Maseches Shabbos in terms of the Malachos. And here in the 10th parak, we continue our discussion of Hotza'ah. We discussed it already in the end of the 7th parak, in the 8th parak, in the 9th parak, and we continue here in the 10th parak, and the 11th parak as well, we'll be discussing Hotza'ah. And here, over the last couple of days, we're discussing some of the most basic and fundamental concepts as it relates to Malachi Shabbos. Yesterday, we talked about Shneim Shehotziu. We talked about two people taking something out on Shabbos, and the patur that it creates. And today, we're going to be discussing Malach HaShem Tzrich LeGufa as one of our most basic and largest topics that come up again and again throughout Shas. We begin with the Mishnah. Hamotzi Ochlim Pachos Mechashir Bekli. If, let's say, one were to take out food and be Pachos Mechashir, it's less than the requisite amount. As has already been discussed, every time you take something out on Shabbos, one is going to be chayav, but the amount that you have to take out has to be a significant amount. Food, for example, has to be a grogeris. So the Mishnah over here describes when one takes out food on Shabbos, but it's less than the shear. However, the mitigating factor over here in the Mishnah is you take it out bekli. You're taking out in a utensil. Now, the utensil over here is servicing the food, meaning it's just simply there to hold the food. And so now the question becomes the following. Certainly on the food, it's pachos mikashir, it's less than the requisite amount. And so therefore, you will not be chayv on taking out the food. On the other hand, it is right now situated in a kli, and perhaps one would be in liability for carrying the kli. The Mishnah is about to teach us you are going to be exempt even on the kli. Let's see it in the Mishnah, patra af al kli, shakli tfeil alo. So you're going to be patra on the kli because the kli becomes now subordinate to the food. And so really the entire purpose of carrying the kli is only there to facilitate the carrying of the food. The food does not have the requisite amount, and the kli just simply tufel to the food. The im ha'cha, I'm sorry, esachai b'mita, patra af alamita, shamita tfeilala. Similar ideas that if one were to carry a person on a bed, so on the person himself, the carrying of the person is going to be patur, and the bed now is also going to be patur as well, because again, the bed over there is only facilitating the carrying of the person. And since one would be exempt from carrying the person, one would also be exempt from carrying the bed that is there only as a means of carrying the person. Perhaps the question that you're thinking about right now is, why is a person exempt when carrying another person? Carrying another person is considered carrying. So stay tuned as we're going to be discussing that in the Gemara. Es ha-meis b'mita chayev. If one were to carry a mace in a bed, so then one would be chayev. Rabbi Shimon Poter. And the same thing is true if one were to carry a portion of human remains, or a kezais of nevela, or the amount of an adasha of a sheretz. Adasha is about the volume of a lentil bean, of a sheretz, one of the insects that give off tuma. So one would be chayv under all those circumstances. And Rabbi Shimon says that one would be putter for carrying the mace on Shabbos. So obviously there was much to discuss over here in the Mishnah in terms of why one would be exempt for carrying another person, but that's going to come up later. But in the meantime, however, in the Mishnah, what we have is a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon regarding the transporting of a dead body. The Chachamim, the Tanakh of our Mishnah, says that one would be chai for doing so because it is literally dead weight. And so therefore, carrying it would be considered an act of carrying, and one would be violating Shabbos, whereas Rabbi Shimon says that no. When one transports a mace on Shabbos, one would be exempt in doing so. What is the machlokes over here between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim? And this in Shabbos, is one of the primary sources that discusses the principle, the concept of a malacha she'en tzrich legufa. This is one of the classic examples that is given throughout Shas in terms of what is the definition of a malacha she'en tzrich legufa and the subsequent debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding what is the consequences of a malacha she'en tzrich legufa. So if you take a mace and transport it from a Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, or conversely, from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid, so here in the Mishnah, a debate whether or not one violated Shabbos. The Chachamim, which now we're going to position as the Shita of Rav Yehuda, says that one would be Chayev, because Rav Yehuda holds that a Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa is going to be Chayev, and Rabbi Shimon says no, that this is a Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa, and one would be Pater in doing so, which means that according to Rabbi Shimon, it is not permissible to do so. Nevertheless, it's not in Issur D'Oraisa, it's not Chilul Shabbos, it's not a Malach. Okay, so as much as we're using the words Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa to describe it, but that only gives us a way to describe it, but what does that mean? Why is it that moving a body, a dead body, from one point to another point falls under the category of a Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa? So over here, let's start with Rashi. Rashi in the Mishnah writes, Rabbi Shimon Poter, Afilu B'meis Shalim. Rabbi Shimon's position is that even if the body that you're carrying is a dead body in its entirety, one would be exempt to have a Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa. B'chol Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa, Ela V'chol Malach HaShein Tzricha, Ela L'Salka Me'alav, have a Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa. So Rashi over here gives us his definition of Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa, and that is, why am I moving it from point A to point B? It's not because of the destination. It's not because on Shabbos we want to move the mace from here to there. But rather it's because right now we don't want the mace over here. And the whole reason why I'm doing this is only for the purposes of removal, of the fact that I just simply don't want it here. The truth of the matter is that I wouldn't have wanted the mace here to begin with. Aside from the emotional issues, of course, of losing somebody who perhaps is you are somebody who is emotionally attached to. Aside from that, but right now, just simply the discomfort of having a dead body in the same house that you're in right now, so you don't want it. And the truth of the matter is that you didn't need it. Hilkach lav malachas machshavati l'Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, it does not fall under the category of a malachas machshavas. So Rashi's definition of malachas shein tzrich l'gufa means it is something that I don't want. It's not something that I positively want. It's just right now, it's the its existence right now that bothers me, and I just simply want its absence. So I'm not doing so. I'm not moving the body for any type of constructive purpose because I want to get the body from point A to point B, but just simply right now, the removal of something that is bothersome. It's the absence of the item right now that is what I want. And so Rashi describes this as a malacha, shein tzrich l'gufa. That's the definition as explained by Rashi. And on this, again, the basic machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says you're pater, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayev. Parenthetically, not to be confused with davar sheinu miskaven. Davar sheinu miskaven means that when I do an act on Shabbos, and there is a secondary consequence, so that is what's called in halacha davar sheinu miskaven, also a major fundamental issue as it relates to Shabbos, also a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but it's not the same. First of all, by davar sheinu miskaven, again, it's just a different scenario. It's one in which I'm doing one thing, and it may lead to a secondary consequence. It's not what we're describing right now. Over here, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm taking the mace and I'm moving him from point A to point B. It's just that the way Rashi describes it, I don't want him in point A. So it's just simply removal that I'm interested in and not destination of getting him from point A to point B. Davar sheinu miskaven is where I know exactly what I'm doing, but there may come a secondary result of the act that I'm doing. On top of that, another major distinction between davar sheinu miskaven and a malach hashem tzrich l'gufa is that although it can be confusing because it's also a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but the shitas are that by davar sheinu miskaven, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's aser, and Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter legamrei, as long as it's not a psik resha. So it's mutter legamrei. So your shitas by davar sheinu miskaven is Rabbi Yehuda is the machmer, like he is here, but machmer meaning it's aser, and Rabbi Shimon is the mako meaning mutter. Here, by Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa, Rabbi Yehuda is the Machmir, meaning it's Chilul Shabbos, it's considered a Malacha, where Rabbi Shimon's the Mekel, but Mekel only to the point where it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, it's Pater of Al-Asser. So, basic differences between Davar Sheinu Miskaven and Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa. Just one more very basic point before we go on and start with the Gemara, and that is, Rashi is not the only definition of Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa. Take a look at Tosos right here on our daf. Just turn to the Tzadi Dalam and Aleph, the big Tosos, the large Tosos on the Amud Divrei Hamaskil Rabbi Shimon Poter, which really is going on our Mishnah, Nira Lari. And Tosfos over here, we're just going to start the beginning of the Tosfos, where he gives his definition of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Nira Lari, the Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, Kari Kisha Ose Malacha, Ve'in Tzarech La'oso Tzarech, Ke'en Shayu Tzrichim La B'Mishkan. You're doing something, an activity. It is a malacha that what you're doing, but you're not doing it with the same purpose as it was done in the Mishkan. Ela le'inyan acher, you're doing it for a different purpose. Ki atzorch shayta malacha nasas bishvilo b'mishkan, hu guf a malacha v'sharasho. Because the way it was done in the Mishkan, that is the paradigm of what the malacha is, and it is the sharish. It's the source of the malacha. So in order for a malacha to be a violation of Shabbos, it has to be done not only in the manner that it was done in the Mishkan, but for the same purpose as well. Ulefizeh, Toshos continues. Ulefizeh, Asikul Shapir, Hotzas HaMeisen, and Tzarech LaMeis, Uve Mishkan HaYitzrichim LaChaveitzen. Meaning so that when it comes to the removal of a dead body, so that is a malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa, because the whole reason why they transport in the Mishkan is because they wanted the item. So you want to move the item from here to there. So that's the way it was done in the Mishkan. That's why it was done in the Mishkan in that manner. And so therefore, the Malacha Vatzah only is going to be a Malacha when patterned after that. Meaning, I want to move an item from point A to point B. Now, admittedly, it sounds similar to Rashi, but it's not the same as Rashi. Because according to Tosos, a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, meaning that I have to go back to the Mishkan, see what the purpose is of why it was done. If I'm doing it for another purpose, according to Tosos, even if it's a positive result, but I'm not doing it as the same purpose as intended in the Mishkan, so that falls under the category of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Whereas according to Rashi's Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, his distinction between a Malacha HaTzrich L'Gufa and Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is that do I want a positive result, or do I want to just simply remove myself from a negative moment? So that is the basic difference between Rashi's definition and Tosfos' definition. See Tosfos where he continues extensively on this topic of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Anyway, here we are, Shabbos Daf Tzadi Daled, where we're discussing the very basic idea of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says you're Pater, Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayev. Also, what does that mean, Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? A debate between Rashi and Tosfos. We're going to now turn back our attention to the Gemara. We start with the Gemara on the bottom side of Gimel and Beis, Tana Rabbanan. And we start with the Braisa. Hamotzi Ochlin Kishir Im Hakli Chayav Al HaOchlin Upatar Al Hakli. So let's say you are carrying food, and it is the requisite amount, and you're carrying it together with a Kli. So you're going to be liable for carrying the food, but not on the Kli. Again, the idea is that the Kli is Tafel. It is just simply subordinate to the food. Now, let's say, for example, that the kli over here is not going to be subordinate to the food, but the kli is absolutely necessary. So then one is going to be liable for carrying the kli as well. Rashi explains, what does that mean that you need the kli? So Rashi writes over here, Lishamish potash v'shachir, makom shemotzi hasham. You know that not only am I going to be transporting the kli, and not only is the kli there to hold the food, but on top of that, when we get to the place where we're going to get to, it happens to be that I'm going to need the kli as well. Under those circumstances, you're going to be chayv for both carrying the food and carrying the kli. Now, the Gemara says, now that I understand that in principle, but over here, what does that mean? In other words, you're chayv for carrying the food and you're chayv for carrying the kli. Vis-a-vis the punishment, well, if you're doing it b'mezid, so how many times are you going to be put to death? And if you're doing it b'shogeg, well, that just simply means that you're doing a repeated malacha, and presumably you're doing it in one halama, so how many carbon chatzis do you need to bring? The answer, of course, is only one. So even though the point is clear, but the ramifications are not. So you're chayav for carrying the food, and you're chayav for carrying the kli, in a scenario where you need the kli, when you get to the place where of your destination, you're going to need the kli. So you're going to be chayv, but what does that mean you're going to be chayv both on the food and on the kli? Practically speaking, you're either only going to be put to death once, or you're going to be chayv one karban chatas. So what does that mean? And that's the Gemara's next point. Shema mina ochel shnei zeise chalav elam echad chayv shtayim. What does that mean? That if you eat two kezesim of chalav and you do so in one state of unawareness, you're going to be chayav two karmel chatzuses. The Gemara is asking incredulously because that's not true. You only chayav one. Amar sheshes hachabem ha'iskin and kigosh shagag ala ochlin v'hizid al hakli. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Bryce over here is discussing a scenario in which you were shogging on the food, but you were amazing on the clean. Those are two different punishments. One's a karmel chatzus and the other is misa. Assuming that there is witnesses, warning, etc., etc. So maskala Ravashi vaha af al hakli ketani. Now Ravashi says that's not a good pshat, because in the Brisa it says that you're chayev even on the kli, which means that you'll be chayev for both of them. Presumably, you're going to be chayev the same punishment. So he didn't like that pshat. So ella amar Ravashi kigon sheshagir b'zeh uv'zeh. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's say that you are carrying both of them bishogeg, both the food and the kli. And as far as understanding, what does that mean that you're chayv on both, when ultimately what you did is you just simply did the same malacha two times over, but you did it behalam echad. So the Gemara says, we can take ourselves back to the seventh parak of the Masechta. This takes us back some time that we're now reviewing Daf Ayin Aleph, and there Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where I did multiple malachas, it was the same malacha repeated twice, or it was different malachas, but let's go back to it was the same malacha repeated twice. I only learned about them at different times. I learned about one and I learned about the second. And the discussion between and the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, was I mafresh a carbon chatzis in between them? Was I not mafresh a carbon chatzis between them? But anyway, we have this idea that if I don't learn about the two malachas at the same time, but I learn about them at two different times, so under those circumstances, one's going to be chayv a carbon chatzis for each time. The idea that yediyos are going to be mechalek, that was the discussion we had in the beginning of the seventh parak, so it could very well be that one carries the food and the kli. And I need both the food and the kli is not just subordinate to the food. So under certain circumstances, one could be chayv karban chatzos on both if one discovery of the carrying of the food and the kli is occurring at different times. Okay, so that could be pshat. We continue now in the Gemara. Lema masisim Rabbi Nassim hi velo Rabban. Let me read the heading. Es chayv mita pater af al hamita. And now we're going to be discussing the question of carrying a live person. In the Mishnah, we learned together when you carry a live person, so there you're not violating Shabbos. And the question, of course, begs, why not? Why are you not violating Shabbos if you're carrying a live person? So the Gemara says that, presumably, it's because our Mishnah follows the viewpoint of Rabbi Nassan and not of the Chachamim, the time we learned in the Braisa. Hamotzi behema chayev ha'of l'rishus rabin ben chayim ben shchutim chayev. According to the Tanakhama, if one were to carry an animal, whether it be domesticated or wild, or carrying a bird into a Rishus Rabbim, whether it is alive or whether it's shechted, one would be chayav. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that carrying, transporting an animal, alive or dead, would be chayav. That's an act of hutzah. Rabbi Nassan Omer, al ashchutin chayav al chayin pater. Shechaino says atzma. Whereas according to Rabbi Nassan, no. Rabbi Nassan says that there's a distinction between alive versus dead. If you're carrying something which is alive, so then you are not going to be violating Shabbos. If you're carrying something which is dead, you are violating Shabbos. What's the difference between alive versus dead? So Rabbi Nassan says, "Hachai no seis atzmo," because when you carry something that's alive, so that live item is able to help you in terms of supporting his own weight. When you're carrying somebody who's alive, he's able to balance himself and alleviate some of the weight that he's putting down on you. And this is the idea of chai no seis atzmo. Since the person who's alive is able to help and facilitate you in adjusting his own weight, so therefore it's as if he's kind of helping you in carrying him, and therefore, according to Rabbi Nassan, you're exempt from carrying somebody, whether it be a person, whether it be an animal, carrying somebody that's alive. Now, even though as much as I confidently explain that Chayno Seis Atzmo is Pater according to Rabbi Nassan, what does that mean? Meaning, it may very well be that the person is helping you carry him, but if you've ever tried to carry another person, you realize, unless it's an infant or unless it's a really young child, it's really heavy. And even if he's helping you doing so, but when all said and done, you're carrying that person. And so why according to Rabbi Nassan, you're going to be pater? Tosus is bothered by this very question. Tosus, second Tosus on the Amud, Shachai Noses Atzmo, Tema Lari. Lama pater, Deimishim Shachai Mekel Atzmo, V'alo Afilu B'masakal Yoser, Chayev. So, okay, so he's helping you. and live weight is going to be easier to carry than dead weight, but it's still a lot of weight to carry. And even if it's lighter, but still you're carrying. So the Gemara says, maybe it goes and relates back to yesterday's daf. And that is that, you know, when two people are doing a malacha together, so they're going to be potter. So the Tosfos says that's true, but havizeh yachol vizeh no yachol. Sheina nisa yachol lisa atzmo belo hanose. V'hanose yesh bo koch lanoso. So afilu hayames. But going back to yesterday's daf, this falls under the category of zeyachov zeino yachov. The one who's carrying is really doing the brunt of the work. The one who's being carried, okay, he's helping, he's misayeya. But as we learned in yesterday's daf, under those circumstances, the misayeya is not going to be charged with any kind of liability. It's the one who's doing the heavy lifting, that's the person that's going to be chayav. So over here, this is analogous to the case of zeyachov zeino yachov. And so therefore, the one carrying the live person should be chayav. So Tosfos says, so what is Rabbi Nassan Shita based on? The Omari, Demi Mishkan Gamrina, Shalai, you know, Sindavar, me Shat Chashem, Ha'ilim, Ha'yohochim, Beraglayim, Vachilazim, Miyara, you potsin, or so, Termia Musta, Kamadi Isbe, Neshama Tvei, Nichalei, Kihech, the Lipsal Tzivei. So Tosfos says, well, again, we're going to go back to what is the Malacha? The definition of Malacha is whatever was found in the Mishkan. And whatever was found in the Mishkan defines as a malacha. In the Mishkan, there was no carrying of live animals. You never carried a live animal on Shabbos. What you did with a live animal is that you walked it around, but you never carried it. And so therefore, since there was no carrying live animals as part of the malachas of Mishkan, so therefore it does not define as a malacha. That is the basis for the Shita of Rabbi Nassim Chayno Sinas Atzmo. It's unbelievable that on one daf, Tosfos, two times over, uses this idea that malachas are only going to be the way it was done in the Mishkan in terms of defining malacha. So you have this Tosfos Chai Noseis Atzmo explaining why, according to Rabbi Nassim, when you're carrying a live item, either a person or an animal, you're going to be potter because it was not the way that it was done in the Mishkan. And then the fundamental Tosfos on the bottom, which we already cited, in terms of explaining what is the definition of malacha shein tzrich legufa, it's that if you're doing the malacha in a manner in which, for a purpose in which it's not done the Mishkan, it is going to be potter according to Rabbi Shimon because of malacha shein tzrich legufa. So two times on today's daf, Tosfos cites this idea that if you're not doing it the way it was done the Mishkan, or for the purpose that was done the Mishkan, it therefore does not define as a malacha. Okay. So that is Tosfos' explanation of the Shita of Rabbi Nassan of Chai Nose Es Atzmo. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rava, so what we have right now is presumably our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Nassan. The problem, of course, is that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Nassan. The Chachamim say that when you carry a live animal on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayat. And that means to say that our Mishnah is only following the Shita of Rabbi Nassan and not following the Shita of the Chachamim. And that part's a little bit difficult. Amar Rava, Filotem Rabbanan. No, you can even say that our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. Ad kan lo pligi rabban ala de Rabbi Nassan ala bebehema chayva of dimishavti nafshayu. So when the Chachamim and Rabbi Nassan are arguing that's specific to animals, because when it comes to animals, mishavti nafshayu, they stiffen up, they make it difficult to carry. Ava adam chay denosi esatzma afilu rabban amodu. However, when it comes to carrying another person, a person is there to help you. So when you're carrying a person, he's going to balance himself on you, so that way he is helping you in the act of carrying. So we could suggest that our Mishnah is in fact going like the Chachamim, because the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Nassan is only by an animal and not by a person. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question. Now this question over here gets a little bit complicated because there are a number of steps to this question. So let's go over the steps to this question. Step number one is a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Ben Becerra Mati Besus. So we start off with the Shita of Ben Becerra as we learned together back in Avodah Zarah, and that is that he allows for the sale of horses to a non-Jew. Now this issue of what large animals could be sold to a non-Jew is predicated on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and the following concern. That when I sell an animal to a non-Jew, so the sale of the animal to a non-Jew means that it's no longer under Jewish ownership, it's non-Jewish ownership, and so therefore there's no concern about shvisas behemto, that you have to make your animal rest because the animals that have to rest on Shabbos are only animals that are owned by a Jew and not by a non-Jew. Fine. However, that's if you sell the animal to a non-Jew. But what if you lend the animal to a non-Jew? What if you rent the animal to a non-Jew? So then it's still under ownership, is your animal. And when the non-Jew works the animal on Shabbos, so then your one is going to be violating the Isser of Shvisas Behemta. And so therefore, there is a general gzera, as we learned together back in Masechta Avodah Zarah, that you're not allowed to sell a large animal to a non-Jew, because selling would lead to renting and other types of business transactions. And if you rent it or lend it to a non-Jew, so one is going to be then violating the Isser of Shvitas Behemta. However, Ben Becerra is of the opinion that you're allowed to sell a horse to a non-Jew. Why? Because let's say you didn't sell the horse to the non-Jew, but let's say you just rented it to a non-Jew. Okay, and now what the non-Jew is going to do is he's going to ride the horse. So at worst, we're going to lead to a situation where your horse is going to be ridden by a person, but in a moment we're going to learn together, Ben Becerra agrees with the Shita of Rabbi Nassan, in that because the horse is being ridden on by a human, so that's not considered carrying, and we invoke the principle of Chai Noses Atzma. So at worst, you're only going to be violating Nisa Darabana, not in Issa Daraisa. And so therefore, Ben Becerra does not extend the Gzera so that you are in fact allowed to sell a horse to a non-Jew, because even if I end up renting it to him, and even if he rides it, it's not an Issa Daraisa. Okay. Vitanya. So step number one is the Shita of Ben Becerra in the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. Step number two, Vitanya Ben Becerra, Mati Besus Memneshu Oseh Bamalach Hashem Chayav Amalachatas. And on top of that, the Braisa here articulates what we just learned together. The reason why is because even if the horse were to be ridden, one is not violating the Issa Daraisa because a human is riding the horse, and this invokes the principle of Chai Noseh Satsmo. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Becerra, Rabbi Nassan, Amar Davar Echad. And Rabbi Yochanan is the one who in fact creates the link between Ben Becerra and Rabbi Nassan. That Ben Becerra's position is predicated on the Shita of Rabbi Nassan. Now hopefully, if I explain this well, the question now becomes self-evident. And that is that the only way we explain the Shita of Ben Becerra is that he's following the view of Rabbi Nassan. But haven't we just got done saying that if it's a transport of a human, both Rabbi Nassan and the Chachamim are of the opinion that Chai Noseh Satsma. And that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. I am Artelo Plig Rabban Alad, Rabbi Nassan Elabe Behema Chai Va'of, Mishim Dimashavte Nefshaihu, my area Ben Becerra Rabbi Nassan, Ben Becerra Rabbi Nassan. Why do you have to that now pigeonhole the position of Ben Becerra and say that he is subscribing only to Rabbi Nassan? That's not true. If we are right that the Chachamim and Rabbi Nassan are not arguing when it comes to the carrying of a human, so that means to say that the Shita Ben Becerra can open up and hold not only like Rabbi Nassan, but even like the Chachamim as well. The Amar Tafilu Rabban Amodeh, didn't you say that the Chachamim agree that when you're carrying a human, that we invoke the principle of Chai Noseh Esatzmo? So the Gemara's response is, Ki Amar Rav Yochanan, Besus HaMiyucha La'ofos. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're right. But the horse that's being discussed in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, is specifically a horse that's used to transport pigeons and not humans. The Gemara says, what kind of answer is that? Umiika susam yuchal ofos? The Gemara says, there's such a thing. A horse that's designated to the carrying of pigeons, ika debe vidan. The Bei Vidan Rashi goes on to explain over here that there were certain trappers that were looking to trap other wild birds. And the way they would trap the other wild birds is that they would have a horse. Mounted on a horse, they would have a bird, a trained bird. This bird would be riding on top of a horse, luring other birds to come in. Under those circumstances, the horse over there was designated for the transport of an animal, not for the transport of a human. And that's why the Mishnah over there says that the Shita of Ben Becerra is specifically going like Rabbi Nassan, not like the Chachamim. Only because the horse in question over there is one that's used to transport an animal, not a human. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Umoda, Rabbi Nassan Bekafas. Now, Rabbi Yochanan will agree that if the person that is being carried is tied up, so then you don't have the principle of Chai Noseh Satsmo. Chai Noseh Satsmo is predicated on the idea that the person being carried is going to help you and adjust his weight. But if the person is tied up, immobilized, so then he won't be able to help you, and therefore Rabbi Nassan would agree that one would be violating an Issur Torah for carrying somebody who's tied up. Now the Gemara is going to ask a question based on an assumption. In a moment we're going to change the assumption. But the Persians, when they go riding on an animal, so they're all tied up. Now, when it says that the Persians are tied up, it doesn't mean that they're literally tied up as they're riding animals. It means that the kind of dress that they wear while riding an animal makes them as if they are tied up. Rashi says that they are laden with specific clothing when riding on a horse. Rashi, Rochvin me'utafin bebegadim rechavim, v'gam hem atzmam me'uganim mehatseg al ha'aretz. And whenever you see a Persian riding on a horse, because the kind of clothing that they wear, you're never going to see them getting off the horse. It's as if they are tied up. And v'amar av Yehuda ben Beserra, Rabbi Nasan amru davar echad. So, and again, the alignment between the Shitas of Ben Becerra and the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah and Rabbi Nasan in our discussion over there, over here. So the Gemara's answer is Hasam Ramas Ruchu Denaket Lahu. So the Gemara says, no, the assumption is wrong. The Persians are not tied up. The Persians, while riding on a horse, can in fact get down from the horse if they would like to. It just happens to be that the Persians are so arrogant, they just simply don't want to get down from the horse. Dahu Pardashcha. And the Gemara just simply tells the following anecdotal story, which is that there was this officer. King was upset with him. What he did is he had to get off of his horse and he had to run three parsas on his own feet. And so that means to say that the only reason why they are on the horse and they look as if they are secured and fastened and tied to the horse, but that's only an appearance that they give off. The truth of the matter is that they can really get off the horse. Okay, so where do we stand right now on the issue of carrying a live person? So we have our mission that says that if one were to carry a live person on Shabbos, one would not be violating Shabbos. It'd still be Asr Midrabbanan. It's part of al Asr, but it is not in Isra Daraisa. And the reason why, as we come to understand over the course of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, is the principle of Chai Nosei Satzmo. That when I'm carrying a live person, because he's helping and facilitating in the carrying, and the way Tosos understands it, it's because in the Mishkan we weren't carrying live people. So therefore, Rabbi Nasan is of the opinion that one would be potter for carrying a live person. As we further clarified over the course of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, it could very well be that when we're talking about carrying a person, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Nasan that we invoke the principle of Chai Nosei Es Atzmo. It's only when transporting a live animal, right, a behema chai va'of, we have a machlokus between Rabbi Nasan and the Chachamim. Rabbi Nasan is of the opinion that when transporting a live animal, we also invoke the principle of chai nosei es atzmo, where the Chachamim disagree. A live animal is not helping you in terms of carrying it, and so therefore we don't have the principle of chai nosei es atzmo. Continuing now in the Gemara, when the banam at Sadidala and Aleph at the two dots. That's ameis b'mita chai v'chein b'chezayis men ameis. Amar Reva Bar Bachana Rav Yochanan veAmar Rav Yosef Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish Poter Haya Rabbi Shimon Af Bemotzi Es Hameis Lekovro. Let's say that the reason why you're taking the mace out of the house right now is because you actually want to bury. Now, of course, it goes without saying, burying on Shabbos is going to be an Isser, probably a Malacha. It is going to require you to dig a hole in the ground. Although here, I guess you can argue that digging the hole in the ground also may be a malach hashen tzrich l'gufa, because the purposes of digging a hole, and typically on Shabbos to violate the Isser, the malach of charesh, is because you want to soften the ground, because you want to plant seeds in the ground. Okay, but the point over here is not on the subsequent burial, it just is that I am transporting the body for burial. So what the Amoraim are telling us, this is both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish telling us, that when Rabbi Shimon says that you're potter, because this falls under the category of Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa, included in Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa, is even if I'm taking the mace out of the house, not just for its removal, not just because it's discomfort of having sharing a house with a dead body, but even if I'm taking it out for its own purposes, meaning for burying it, this still falls under the category of a Malach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa. Now, why should that be? Because it is for the tzarech of the mace, but it's not for your tzarech. Meaning, a malacha tzrich legufa, meaning that it has to benefit you per se. Now, again, the fact that it's uncomfortable for you and you want to remove it, okay, but as we already got done explaining in the beginning when we saw the Mishnah, that's exactly the definition, as Rashi explains, a malacha shein tzrich legufa. And even if you're telling me that I'm taking it out for its purposes, but right now, it's a mace. And so therefore, this also will not fall under the category of malacha tzrich legufa. And so even if I'm taking it out to bury it, it's still, according to Rabbi Shimon, is a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Amar Rabba, we're on the top of the Amar Beis. Umod Rabbi Shimon, b'malach par bo, v'sefer Torah l'kfors bo, d'chayef. Now, Rabbi Shimon will agree that if I'm carrying a shovel because I need to dig with it, or if I'm carrying a sefer Torah because we need to read it, and I'm carrying it into a Rishus HaRabim, or through a Rishus HaRabim, one's going to be chayef. Meaning, it's a malacha hatzricha l'gufa. Now the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Pshita. The e ha nami malacha shein tzricha l'gufa he el malacha shein tzricha l'gufa l'Rabbi Shimon hech mishkachala. There's got to come a point in time where it is a malacha tzricha l'gufa. If you're telling me that I'm carrying a shovel on that because I needed to dig, or I'm carrying a sefer Torah because I need to read it, and if you're going to tell me that that's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, what is, according to Rabbi Shimon, an example of a malacha hatzricha l'gufa? So the Gemara goes on to explain, Ma'u detei ma'adika l'gufo u'l'gufa, k'gom mar la'asos l'tas v'lachpor, sefer Torah l'hagia v'likros bo, kamash malach. So the Gemara says that I might have thought, this is a havamina, I might have thought that the definition of a malacha hatzricha l'gufa, let me say it again and let's say it clearly, that the definition of a malacha hatzricha l'gufa is going to be in a scenario in which it facilitates and it services both me and the item that I'm carrying. So let's say, for example, the shovel, I need it for digging, but on top of that also, the shovel is going to be repaired when it's taken to the to its secondary location. Or in the transport of a Sefer Torah, I need to read the Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah is going to be proofread in the second location. I might have thought that I have malacha hatzrich legufa, both has to service me, the carrier, and the item that's being carried as well. That's the havamina. And the Gemara says, the Kamash Malan, no, that the Malacha Tzrich L'Gufa, the definition is just simply that it services me. There's significance to me in the transport of it. Gemara continues, Ha'ushchava. There was a dead body to have a Drukra, in the town of Drukra. Shar Rav Nachman Yitzchak La'afuke La'Karmelis. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak gave the following heter. And he says that one on Shabbos is allowed to move the mace from a Rishus HaYachid over into a Karmelis. Karmelis, of course, is not a Rishus HaRabim. We discussed this extensively in the beginning of the Masechta. We just discussed this the other day as well in the Mishnah, here in our 10th Perek. But you are moving it from a Rishus HaYachid to a Karmelis, which would be an Issa D'Rabbanan. So, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Achud Amar Berei D'Rabbanan L'Rab Nachmar Yitzhak Keman K'Rabbi Shimon. Wait 1 second. Under what basis are you doing so? You're carrying a mace on Shabbos, and you're moving it from Rishus HaYachid to a Karmelis? Now, what is that subscribing to? The Shita Rabbi Shimon? Ema de Pata Rabbi Shimon. Michiv Chatas. Isura de Rabban Mi'ika. Now, we already made this point, but the Gemara now is spelling it out. That Rabbi Shimon does not give an allowance for Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. The only thing he does is gives you an exemption from being a Karban Chatas. But it's still an Isur de Rabbanan to do so. So what kind of heter are you doing, allowing the removal of the mace from the house into a Karmelis, when meanwhile, the only thing Rabbi Shimon says is that you're not chayv karban chatzos, but still asur mid rabbanan. Amar le alokim de ayalat beat. You would have done the same thing. The afilu le Rabbi Yehuda de mi kamina le rishus rabim le karmelis kamina. Wait 1 second. I'm not allowing the moving of the mace into a rishus rabim. That would be nisa deraisa. And even if I fall like Rabbi Shimon, that would be only. That would only exempt me from the Issa D'Raisa. It would still be Asur Midrabbanan. We're in perfect agreement. But over here, I allow the moving of the mace from a Rishus Yachid into a Karmelis. That's an Issa D'Rabbanan. And Gadol Kavod Abriyos Shadoche Eslos Asesha B'Torah. And this is an issue of Kavod Abriyos, which we're going to explain better in just a moment. And we know that Kavod Abriyos is going to be overriding Eslos Asesha B'Torah under certain circumstances. Now, this is based on the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yates. Now, if one is violating an Isser in the Torah, even Kavod Abriyos cannot override that. The Gemara over here is making reference to finding a lost item. Under certain circumstances, you can walk beyond it if it's a violation of Kavod Abriyos. Not for now in terms of explaining the details, but suffice to say for now, just simple understanding of our Gemara, that if it's Kavod Abriyos, one is allowed to violate Issa D'Rabbanan. Over here, because it's a Kavod Abriyos issue, so one can violate the Issa D'Rabbanan and transport the mates from a Rishus Yachid into a Karmelis. And this is not going to be subject to the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, because we're not talking about a malacha over here, we're only talking about an Issa D'Rabbanan. Okay, now, 2 points to consider over here, and really both of them are clearly articulated in Rashi. The Gemara over here says that the moving of the body is going to be an issue of Kavod HaBrios. Kavod HaBrios, Rashi over here writes, Rashi Dibra Maskol HaFuka LeKarmelis, Shayamuto Bibizayon, Obidleka, Obicham. Now Rashi says, what is the Kavod HaBrios issue over here? So Rashi says, because right now the mace is in a situation where, if you were to leave the mace where it's at, so there would be further degradation, decomposition of the body. Let's say the mace was somewhere near a fire, or the mace was sitting out in the sun. So if we left the mace over here, there would be further degradation, there would be bizui amet. And what Rashi is saying is that the Kavod HaBrios that's being described in the Gemara is not only a Kavod HaBrios for people who are alive, but even for the mace himself. Now that's very interesting, because what Rashi clearly is saying over here is that the idea of Kavod HaBrios applies even to the mace itself. Now that is a tremendous chiddush, because one could make the argument that Kavod HaBrios only is for people who are alive. It's about human dignity. Now it's true that when somebody dies, so obviously the Chevra Kadisha treats the body with the utmost respect, but to invoke the principle of Kavod HaBrios, to allow Isuri Derabanan, and the Kavod HaBrios that's under consideration is even for the mace as well, so that is a chiddush, but Rashi says it. A secondary point is, and you probably were thinking about this, isn't the body muksa? Aren't you not allowed to move a muksa body? That's the next part of Rashi. V'im yishum toto meniach alai kikar tino. So Rashi says, in terms of the moving of the body, so we'll go back to what we learned earlier in the Masechta. Earlier in the Masechta, taking us all the way back to Daf Lamed. So we had the idea, and I'm in Gimel as well. So we had the idea that if to move a mace on Shabbos where the mace is muksa, so you could do so, but only with putting on a non-muksa item onto the mace, either putting a loaf of bread or putting on a tinok. On the mace, under those circumstances, you're allowed to move it, so that that removes the muksa consideration. Okay, so the Gemara says that to violate Issa Derabanan moving a mace, one will be allowed to do so. But in terms of moving the mace from a Rishus Yach to Rishus Rabim, so that would be Aser, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Issa Deraisa, according to Rabbi Shimon and Issa Derabanan, because of Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. Itmar, we are halfway down on Tzadidalam and Beis, Achas Mishtayim Chayev. Sorry, I skipped two important lines. Let's go back. Tanan Hasan, we're going to start with learning a Mishnah in Negayim. The Mishnah in Negayim is talking about the following. If a person has a spot on their body that qualifies as Saras, so one has to make sure not to excise the spot. The Pasuk in the Torah says, He Shamer B'nega HaTzaras. That one has to make sure that the tzaras that's on their body stays there, so that you're going to be able to show it to a kohen. The kohen will render a decision in terms of diagnosing whether or not it is tzaras or it's not tzaras. But you, the person who is suffering from the tzaras, are prohibited from the Torah of removing it. And not only removing the negat tzaras, but even if there's a hair over there, the hair is part of the simane tama, and so therefore you're not allowed to remove a hair. Now, in terms of the amount of hairs that are there that are going to be affected and will lead to a diagnosis of being a mitzora, so there has to be two hairs over there. Tanan Hasan, with all that stated as a basic introduction, so we're learning the Mishnah, HaTolish Shimani Tuma, V'Hichve HaMichya, Over V'lo Sase. If one were to remove the hairs, which would have resulted, would have led to a status of being a mitzora, or if one would have to remove the healthy flesh, another circumstances in the world of tzaras, where if you have a spot of tzaras and in it you have healthy flesh, that also would result in you being a mitzora. So if you remove those simanim, so one violated the Isser in the Torah of Hishamer b'negat tzaras. Itmar, now after having learned that Mishnah together, Achas mishtayim chayav, Achas mishalosh. So, let's say there are two hairs over there, and on Shabbos one to remove one of the two hairs. One is going to be violating the Isser of Hishamer B'nega Tzaras. So as a result of that, one is going to be Chayv Makos. Achas Mishalosh. Now let's say there are three hairs over there. So by removing one hair, so here's what you've done. you are still allowed two hairs to remain so that there can be a rendering of you becoming tamei. Now, Rabbi Nachman Amar Chai, Rabbi Sheshes Amar Pater. And here, a debate amongst the Amoraim whether or not one is in violation of Hishamer B'nega Saras. Rav Nachman says, Rechayev, Rav Sheshet says, your potter, Gemara explains. Rav Nachman, I'm Rechayev, Ahani Ma'asav, the Imishtakle, Chada Achrita, Azar Le Tuma. Rav Nachman's of the opinion that, look, by removing one hair, there's still two hairs that are remaining. And you're still Tameh. However, what you have done now is that you've heightened the chances that you're going to come out with a non-Sara'as designation. Because all that needs to happen right now is that one more hair be removed, and you're going to be tahor. So even though the immediate results of your action is that you're not going to be tahor, but it certainly now leads to a chance, a possibility, that you're going to be tahor. And Rav Sheshes Amar Pater, Hashemiah, Ha'isa, Letumah. Now Rav Sheshes' argument over here is that that's true, but that's only a potential. But Lamaisa, right now, you have three hairs, you only removed one, there's still two remaining, and Lamaisa, right now, you're tahor. Amar Rav Sheshes, Manami, Nalad, Nan. Now, why is this discussion coming up over here? Because it is seemingly related to our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, V'chein v'kezayis men ha-meis v'kezayis men ha-nevela chayev. If one were to transport a kezayis of meis or a kezayis of nevela, one would be chayev. Ha-chatzi zayis pater. Now, the implication of our Mishnah is that one were to carry a chatzi kezayis of meis, one would be exempt. V'atanya, but we learned in another braisa, chatzi zayis chayev. That if one were to transport on Shabbos a chatzi zayis of human remains, one would be chayev. So what we have over here is a discrepancy between the deek of our Mishnah and the brisa that says clearly that one were to be chayev for transporting half the kezayis of mace. My love, hadetanya chayev de afik chatzi zayis mikezayis, vehadetan pater de afik chatzi zayis mikezayis umechsa. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is a way to possibly resolve the debate, and if this resolution is correct, it will now speak to our discussion. Maybe maybe our issue over here is, the way of resolving the two brisos, one's a mission, the other's a brisa, is that when speaking about taking a half a gezias, and one is going to be putter, maybe that's a scenario where you started with a kezayis and a half of the mace. And by taking out a half a kezayis, you have not removed the tumah. Masha'enkin, when it comes to taking out a half a kezayis and you're going to be chayev, that's talking about where the totality was only a full kezayis. And by taking out a half a kezayis, so one is going to now be removing the tumah and thereby, making a significant change, and then one's going to be chayv even for the half kezayis. So the Gemara says, is that not the way to resolve it? For Rav Nachman, idi idi chayv. Now Rav Nachman's of the opinion that really both of them are going to be chayv. The hadin and pater, the afik chazizayis me meis gadol. No, it could just very well be that the half kezayis over here is talking about where there was a full mace. Rashi says it doesn't have to be a full mace over here. It just simply means that there's a lot of human remains over here, and the removal of half kezayis is just simply not significant because it's not a sheer tumma. So we don't have to give this kind of forced answer to resolve the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and it doesn't necessarily speak to the machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes regarding the removal of one hair when there are three hairs that are in the Nega Hatzaras. Let us begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off on Notel Tziparnav Zubazu, O Bishinav, V'chein Tzara, V'chein Tzfamo, V'chein Zikno, V'chein Hagodels, V'chein Hakochels, V'chein Haposekes, Rabbi Elazar Mechai, V'chachamim Osher Mishum Shvos. One were to remove either fingernails. Now, zubazu meaning that you are taking off the fingernails using your hands. You are picking off your fingernails. Or you're using your teeth. Or you're removing hair. Or you're removing some of the hairs of your mustache. Or your beard. Or godelis. Now, godelis over here, you are braiding your hair. Or kochelis. That is putting some sort of makeup in your eye. Or pokeses. Rashi over here gives two explanations of what pokeses is. Rashi says either combing it with a comb, or Rashi says putting some sort of application on your face so that when it comes off, so your face looks a lot rosier. In any of these circumstances, Rabbi Elazar says, Yechai the Chachamim say, it is an Issur Derabbanan. What is the machlokas over here? So, the Gemara is going to explain. Amar Rabbi Elazar machlokas biyad. We're going back to the fingernails, and the machlokas over here is when you take them off with your hands. Ava b'kli chayav. But if you were to take off your fingernails using a utensil, a clipper, scissors, so then you're going to be chayav. Pshita zubazu tanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but isn't that simple pshat in the Mishnah? No, the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Ma'u detema rabbanan b'kli nami patru. The truth is, maybe the chachamim exempt even when you remove your nails using a kli. V'hadiktani zubazu l'odicha kocha de Rebbe Eliezer. And the only reason why the Mishnah illustrated removing your fingernails with your hand is just to simply show you how strong Rabbi Eliezer feels. Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is that no, that it's not there to highlight the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Everyone's agreeing that when you remove the fingernails using a kli, one is going to be chayev. Now one is going to be chayev. One is going to be chayev when removing with a kli. Why? So presumably the answer is because it's gozes. It's the malacha of gozes. Now, if you think about it for just a moment, the malach of gozes is where you're shearing a sheep. And so similarly, when you're removing fingernails from your finger, so that's tantamount to shearing a sheep, and there you're thereby you're violating the malach of geziza. Here becomes now the problem. When you're shearing a sheep, why are you shearing a sheep? In order to get the wool off the sheep. When you are cutting off the nails, and even if you're doing it with a kli, why are you doing so? Because simply you want to get rid of the long nails. Doesn't this fall into the category of a malacha she'en tzricha legufa? Tosfos says that's correct. It does. Tosfos over here writes, the fourth Tosfos down the Amud. Ava b'kli divra kol chayev. Hainu k'reb Yehuda d'mechayev b'malacha she'en tzricha legufa. So that is within the shita of Reb Yehuda who holds the malacha she'en tzricha legufa is going to be chayev. Seemingly from Tosfos, what it sounds like is that if we subscribe to the shita of Rebbe Shimon, so then even with a kli, Pater of al-Asr. It'd be an Issur d'Rabbanan, not an Issur d'Araisa. Parenthetically, we could have made this note earlier. What are we passing in terms of Malacha Shein Tzricha Gufa? Do we pass on like Rabbi Shimon? Do we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda? The Rishonim are not in agreement on this issue. The Rambam sides with the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, Malacha Shein Tzricha Gufa would be Chayev. Shulchan Aruch follows the position of Rabbi Shimon, Malacha Shein Tzricha Gufa, Pater of al-Asr. So there is a debate amongst the Rishonim in terms of who we follow. Like, the Gemara itself is never clear in terms of which position is the accepted position. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Elazar machlokas la'atzma avala chaveru divra kol pater. The entire debate in our Mishnah is when you're taking the fingernails off of your own hand. But if you're taking it off of somebody else's hands, everyone is of the opinion that it's pater aval asar. Pshita tziparnav tana. Now, the Mishnah does say the word tziparnav, your own fingernails. I might have made the argument that the only reason why the Mishnah gave the example where you're taking off your own fingernails is just to show you that the sheet of the Chachamim is that even though you're removing your own fingernails, you're not violating Issur d'Araisa. So Kamashwan, the Chiddush is that no, that even if I'm removing somebody else's fingernails, no, when I'm removing, not even, when I'm removing somebody else's fingernails, so then we have agreement that it's an Issur d'Rabbanan and not an Issur d'Araisa according to Rabbi Eliezer, and certainly according to the Chachamim. V'chein sa'aro, the Gemara now talks about hair removal. Tana anoto malo piyazug chayev. How much hair is one to have to take off on Shabbos in order to be chayev? So a scissor's worth of hair. V'kama malo piyazug amar Rabbi Yehuda shtayim. That means two hairs. When you remove two hairs on Shabbos, one violates the malacha of tolish. V'atanya ulukarcha shtayim. So the Gemara says, what about the fact that the Braisa says now, if you're removing your hair because you are distraught over the loss of a loved one, so you're violating the Issa and the Torah of not making yourself bald. So, and how much hair is one going to be violating? Two hairs. So the Gemara says, Ema v'chein l'karchashtayim. So the Gemara says, it's not a contrast. It means that just like on Shabbos, one violates the malacha of tolesh on Shabbos, when removing two hairs, so too, for the Issa of karcha, one also removes two hairs as well. Tanya Namehachia, Bryce is supporting this as well. The Bryce says it's two hairs. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Achas. Rabbi Eliezer says one hair. And if one were to remove, let's say, you have, for the most part, black hair, but you have one white hair, and you're removing the one white hair because it is giving you an aged look that you do not want. So one would be chayv even for the removal of that one hair. Not only is this violating Shabbos, but even during the week it would be prohibited. Because this is a man behaving like a woman. Not only, the Gemara's understanding over here is that not only is it prohibited to cross-dress, but any time a man does a behavior and activity that is typically a behavior that is done by a woman, one is violating the Isser of Lo Yilbash. So removing one white hair from the black hairs is an Isser not only on Shabbos, but even during the week as well. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Tziporin Shapir Shruba V'tzitzin Shapir Shon Ruba Biyad Motor B'Kli Chayev Chatas. If let's say you have cuticles that are mostly off, or a fingernail that is mostly off, so to remove it with your hand would be mutter, to remove it with a kli would be an isser daraisa. And the Gemara immediately jumps on this point of the braisa. Mi'ikamidi, dibikli chayav chatos v'yad mutter lechatchila. That's a wide discrepancy. Where if I were to remove the mostly detached fingernail with my hand, that's mutter legamre, but if I were to remove it with a kli, it'd be an isser daraisa. That's hard to imagine. Meaning, if it's an isser daraisa to remove it with a kli, one can easily imagine that the chachamim would ban you from doing so with your hand, but to say it's mutar legamrei, that's too wide a range. Hachi kamar, the Gemara says, okay, it must be that the braisa was somewhat corrupted, and here's how we're going to have to understand the braisa. Pirsha ruban, so let's say most of the nail or most of the cuticle has already been detached. So biyan mutar bekli patar aval asar. To remove it with your hand is mutar, to remove it with a kli, where it's mostly attached, is an isser d'rabban. Lo pirsha ruban, however, if the fingernail or the cuticle is still mostly attached, so then biyad patar aval asar, to remove it with your hands would be an isser derabanan. Bikli chayav chatas, to remove it with a kli would be an isser daraisa. I'm Rabbi Yehuda halacha ke Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And the Gemara says the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That if the majority of the fingernail or the majority of the cuticle is removed, so then you are allowed to remove it with your hand. You're not allowed to remove it with a kli, but doing so would be an isser derabanan. Now, the only time that one is allowed to remove a fingernail or a cuticle that's mostly detached, and one's removing it with your hand, the only time you're allowed to do so is if the detachment is kalpe mala, and I'll explain that in just a moment, and right now also it is uncomfortable, it's discomfort. And so therefore, because it is only an isser derabanan to remove it with your hand, and because it's mostly detached, and because of the discomfort, so the Chachamim allowed you to do so. Now, what does it mean, Behusha Pirshu Kapi Mala? So here you have one of the classic debates in terms of when dealing with a body part and we're talking about an upward direction. So are we talking about distal or are we talking about proximal? Are we talking about away from the center of your body or are we talking about towards the center of your body? And it's just one of those classic debates where it's not clear and it's debated. Rashi says over here that we're talking about where it's distal, where it's going away from your body. And so the cuticle is now, or the nail is basically flaying in the direction of your body. Tosos over here says, no, that's not right. The Rabbeinu Tam Mefarshe Kalpe Guf Kari Kalpe Mala. Sorry, Rashi says it's in the direction of your fingertip, and Rabbeinu Tam says it's in the direction of your body. So one of those debates which seemingly always surfaces when we're talking about a body and a direction, whether we're talking about proximal or distal. Anyway, let's quickly recap our daf today. And the Amud Aleph we talked about, Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa, carrying a dead body. Machlokes in the Mishnah between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon, whether one would be Chayv or Pater. The Tanakhama says that one would be Chayv, Rabbi Shimon says that you're Pater, and here is the source in Shabbos. It comes up again and again, but this is the Mishnah that speaks about it directly, about the topic of Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa. This morning we went through together the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos in terms of what exactly is the definition of Malacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa. Rashi says it's just simply the removal of something that's discomfortable, that's uncomfortable. And Tosfos says it's because it does not follow the same goals of why it served in the Mishkan. The Amud Aleph of today's daf, Tadidal Amud Aleph, we talked about carrying something which is alive. According to our Mishnah, one is not violating Shabbos when you're carrying something which is alive. Presumably, our Mishnah follows the viewpoint of Rabbi Nassan based on the principle of Chai Noseis Atzma. The Gemara hedged a little bit on this issue. It could very well be that the Chachamim agree that when transporting a human, Even the Chachamim subscribe to the idea of Chai Noseis Atzmo. The machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Nosson is the transportation of live animals, livestock. That was all on the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis, we continued our discussion of Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, a heter that's given that one is allowed to move a mace from a Rishus Yachid to a Carmelis, that's an Issa D'Rabbanim, but because of Kavod Abrios, one is allowed to do so. What is the definition of Kavod Abrios? We quoted Rashi. Rashi says that Kavod Abrios is where, even if it's going to be a lack of dignity for the mace to remain there, there was a fire, or the sun was beating on the mace, so then you're allowed to move the mace. So Kavod Abrios, says Rashi, includes even the mace himself. I didn't cite this during the daf today, but a reading of the Rambam would suggest that the Rambam does not agree with Rashi, but for another occasion to go over. The discussion on the Amud Beis also regarding what would be the halacha if one were to remove a hair from his saras. There were two there, he removes one, he violates the issur of hishamer b'negat saras. Why that comes up in our daf today, in our discussion, is because possibly it was related to the Mishnah, but the Gemara ended up saying that it's not related to our Mishnah. And then finally, we talked about clipping off your fingernails and your hair on Shabbos. If done with a hand, it's an issur d'rabbanan. If done with a kli, it's an issur d'oraisa. Other cosmetic actions also in our Mishnah, but that we're going to describe and define in tomorrow's daf. A distinction to be made regarding clipping with one's hands, clipping with one's fingers, removing fingernails that are mostly detached, or removing cuticles that are mostly detached. Our Gemara says that under certain circumstances, it would be mutter to do so with your hand, but only if it is mostly detached, only if it's uncomfortable, and only if it's flaying in a certain direction. Although admittedly, which direction that is subject to a debate.